The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What could one give in exchange for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." He also said to them, "Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come in power." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
And so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And Jesus famously tells us, and we've heard this many times, "Whoever wishes to come after me must take up his cross and follow me." Words we've heard many times, and we're familiar with them. And we forget the original shock that those words would have had to the first people who heard them. And it would be well for us if we could recover that original shock. Because when following Jesus is difficult or shameful or leaves us confused or hurt, scratching our heads, wondering if there's a God in heaven above, when following Jesus hurts, it helps us to remember that this is not unusual, right? This is normal, right? We need to recover as best we're able some sense of that original shock. You know, the crucifixion was the most shameful form of capital punishment in the ancient Roman world, always carried out in public, so as to be a powerful deterrent to anyone else and reserved for the worst: violent criminals, insurrectionists, and slaves. And our Lord says to his disciples and to his apostles, long before the crucifix was a piece of jewelry, long before it was an artwork adorning our churches, he says, "Whoever wishes to come after me must take up his cross and follow me." And the important thing to understand there is that when Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to come after me," he actually uses the exact same word twice. "Whoever wishes to follow me must take up his cross and follow me." Same word twice, as if to say, there is no other option. Right? That when it's difficult, when it's painful, when it hurts to follow Jesus, it helps to remember that we cannot say that we were not warned. Now, another important point to understand here is this does not mean that following Jesus means that we're surrendering to some grim, bleak fate, or that somehow suffering is good, or that death is good. There's a wisdom here that's expressed in deepest love, and it comes in the very next line. "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Sometimes I wonder who translates this, you know, because when they keep saying life, 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 the actual word that they're using here in Greek is psyche, which means soul, or your very being. It's far, far deeper than just your biological life. And this reminds me very much of one of my favorite lines from the Second Vatican Council, Gaudium Espes, number 24, in which it says, "Man discovers his true self when he makes a sincere gift of himself." So what our Lord's actually calling us to in a counterintuitive fashion is to discover who you really are, what you were created for, why you're in this world, what good you're called to do. And the means to that, counterintuitively, is taking up the cross. If we don't take our Lord's words and act on them, we're left as one who has lost his very identity. Now, it's interesting because that echoes almost perfectly something we heard in our first reading from the letter of St. James. It's the most famous passage of St. James we heard in our first reading, in which James says, "Faith without works is dead, but If you were listening to the first reading, hopefully you heard what is my favorite line of all. And that's when James says, "Do you want proof that faith without works is dead? You ignoramus." Right? Don't you love it when the Bible uses words like ignoramus? When James says ignoramus, it's not some kind of emotional outburst. It's not some kind of an insult. The word he actually uses that's translated as ignoramus is anthrope kane, which literally means an empty person. As if to say, the one who won't act on what our Lord has told us, take up your cross and follow me, that's the most pitiable of all. This is the empty person. This is the one who hasn't discovered what our Lord has called us to be. A call not to some bleak, grim fate, but a call in deepest love. Something important to remember. Once upon a time, it was fashionable to be a Christian. Once upon a time, it was acceptable and respected. Once upon a time, a priest could walk down the street and somebody might tip their hat, right? If I had a time machine, I think I'd go back to those days. If I could choose the time in which I live, I think that's the time in which I... These days, they spit on you. I've actually been spat on before. I mean, it happens. It's rare, but it happens. When that happens, it helps to remember what our Lord has called us to, and that some sort of private following of our Lord in the privacy of your own mind and thoughts is not an option. Hurts, no matter how much it hurts, we're called to publicly identify with our Lord and to help spread the gospel. But remember, Jesus has not called us to death, but to life. And he wants us to know that this cross is the means to the greatest victory. We praise our Lord for his wisdom and for his power, and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Peter Damian, pray for us.